www.attableek.com, the reviver of Iman.
Come closer, John. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Alim al-Khabir. Al-Mutqin nizam al-Alam bila mu'in wa nasir. Fasubhanallah alladhi hikmatuhu balighatun wa'ilmuhu ghazir. ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقيل ولا تثمير. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله في الإنذار والتبشير، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واضرب لهم مثلا رجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا. كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا. وقال تعالى: فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. صدق الله العظيم. The Urdu poet said, ہزار کام ہے داغ دنیا میں کرنے کے، جو لوگ کچھ نہیں کرتے ہیں کمال کرتے ہیں. ہزار کام ہے داغ دنیا میں کرنے کے. There are a thousand things that needs to be attended to urgently and desperately. There is a fire that's guttering through. There's chaos on the earth. I marvel at how people can sit idle and say, I don't know what to do. I marvel at how people can sit idle and say, I don't know what to do. Sadly today, we have preoccupied ourselves with anything and everything but the salvation of our soul. We engage in everything. Even if there's a Q&A, there's a scholar, people are engaging. People will ask the most irrelevant and futile questions, and nobody will ask concerning the salvation of his soul. A person has a mentor with whom he has a spiritual allegiance. It's no longer the reformation of his soul, it's rather requesting prayers for the prosperity of his commercial endeavors. So I've got this pious man, I ask him, request him to make dua. Those habits merit, I'm not refuting it. But the aim of a spiritual allegiance or a mentor is to find direction and navigate in your life. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu enjoys one amazing accomplishment which is unique to him. In the gathering of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers used to come and the munafiqeen as well. So munafiqeen used to come camouflaged and they would claim to be believers, but many a times their utterances and their gestures would reveal the fact that they had sinister motives. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَلَّنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ أَضْغَانَهُمْ وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ فَلَعَرَفْتَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Those in whose hearts is hypocrisy, do they feel Allah will not expose the evil and endeavors? أَلَّنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ أَضْغَانَهُمْ وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ. And if we so wish, we will prove them and reveal them to you. وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. And our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will identify them from their dialect, from their speech, from their utterance. So many of them used to come and sit and make false claims, because talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Some of them would come and sit in the gathering of the Prophet. We love you. یا آپ پہ تو ہم جان دے دیں گے. کہتے ہیں کچھ لوگ میرے رب میں نبی نبی، لیکن پڑھتے ہیں نماز ہفتے میں کبھی کبھی. کہتے ہیں کچھ لوگ میرے رب میں نبی نبی، لیکن پڑھتے ہیں نماز ہفتے میں کبھی کبھی. نبی کا نام سنتے ہی جھوم جاتے ہیں، نبی کا حکم سنتے ہی گھوم جاتے ہیں. Some people claim that the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intrinsic to my anatomy. It's part of my DNA, it's part of my bones and flesh. But they offer prayer occasionally. On hearing the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they sway with ecstasy. But on hearing the dictates and the commands and the injunctions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they turn and they go on. So there were those people who would come in the gathering and make claims. And that's the word today. It's a stalking. يُرْضُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ. Wow, look at the Quran. Wow, look at the Quran. That's the word today, lip service. They appease you, they impress you with their speech, while their hearts deny what their tongues utter. That's the word. It's a flowery speech. It's an inaugural speech. And what's it? يُرْضُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. We pledge this, we commit this, we're signing this document, we're making this commitment. But when it comes to walking the talk, delivering, exhibiting, وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ وَتَأْبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ. كيف يكون للمشركين عهد عند الله وعند رسوله إلا الذين عاهدتم عند المسجد الحرام فما استقاموا لكم فاستقيموا لهم إن الله يحب المتقين. كيف وإن يظهروا عليكم لا يرقبوا فيكم إلا ولا ذمة. So there was a munafiq who used to come and sit in the gathering and used to say, I love you the most, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love you the most. And Allah is my witness. So Allah said so beautifully in Surah Munafiqun that they come and say that you are the Prophet of Allah, and Allah knows you are His Prophet, and Allah also confers that they are speaking a lie. Because if they believe that you are the Prophet, then accept it.
إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله.
You see, the approach of some people is, there's a caption, there is this beautiful slogan. By virtue of that slogan, you attract the attention of the people. Once you've got everybody looking, now you vomit the poison. Now if you start off with poison, nobody listens to you. But you come with this catalyst, you come with this attraction, you come with this noble slogan. Wow, my word, that's amazing. And just when everybody's riveted, then you release what you want to. Many a people author an entire book just to indoctrinate negativity of two lines in 200 pages. Did you hear what I said? You write a book of 200 pages and you're like, no, the book is fine. It's just a page or two. Well, that's the subtlety in the entire book. That's precisely how it was blended. Because if you throw out two nasty lines, nobody will digest it. So write a book of 200 pages and subtly give off some negativity, and in all likelihood, you will embrace that. And that is precisely where the indoctrination and the negativity will set in. May Allah protect us. Amongst the many agendas during the time of the Prophet ﷺ that people have instituted to create negativity against Islam, they said, let's do this, embrace the faith, and show people we are people of muscle and clout and intelligence. And then we accept Islam, so people will say, wow, look at these people, they're prominent, they learn it. And they have accepted the faith. And at the end of the day, walk out of the faith. So create uncertainty. Create instability. Create confusion. So let's accept in big numbers. People who think, yeah, that's correct. Look at, there are so many prominent, great giants, legends, veterans, stalwarts have accepted the faith. And then after a period of time, withdraw. So our entry and subsequent withdrawal will create turbulence.
وَقَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ آمِنُوا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجْهَ النَّهَارِ وَاكْفُرُوا آخِرَهُ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ.
Come and say it's correct. He will say, wow, that's right. And then towards the no, my mind has changed. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, anchor yourself. Don't be like people who say, ana ma'an nas, I'm going with the flow. If they're doing the right thing, I'll do the right thing. If they do the wrong thing, I'll do the wrong thing. But you're just going with the people, with the flow. Anchor yourself in virtue. Establish yourself in virtue. So anyway, I was saying to you that today we have preoccupied ourselves with anything and everything but the salvation of our soul. You have a gathering, you have a teacher, you have a scholar, he's giving dars, he's giving Q&A, and okay, open the floor to questions. Okay, I just want to know, is Khidr alive or has he passed away? Okay, brother, what has that got to do with the question in your brain? I'm like, just wondering, when Adam a.s. was spared with Eve in paradise, like, who performed and solemnized the marriage? I'm like, Sheikh, if I'm on the moon, right, what's the direction I would pray? You're not praying on earth. You're not praying on earth. And you want to know the direction of the moon. لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِنْ تُرْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. We do anything and everything but the salvation of our soul. So this was a munafiq. He used to come and sit in the gathering and say, I love you. And he had the gift of the gab. He could mesmerize the audience. He could sway the audience. He could turn people. He had, Allah says that one of the salient qualities of these munafiqeen was such, they could speak you into it. وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. Wow, and if they speak, you just listen.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ.
And there are some people whose speech will impress you. They will impress you. And they make Allah a witness to what is in their heart. Yet Allah says, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. He is the most severe of opponents. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى. تَوَلَّى has two meanings. تَوَلَّى can mean أَدْبَر, when he turns his back. Or تَوَلَّى الْأَمْر means when he gains power and authority. The same person, when he comes in the driving seat, وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا. Then he's only causing mischief on the earth. He's making great claims, but when he comes to delivery, then there is inconsistency between his utterance and his action. So, Allah Ta'ala put a limitation on the munafiqeen, and how Allah did it? Allah said, whoever wants to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they must give some donation and then come. And that's the spirit of a believer to spend. The call today is to donate to an orphanage. I hope and wish and pray that every one of us will donate, inshallah. Only a believer can do that. You're giving, apparently you cannot see, but it's your belief and your conviction that you're investing in Akhirah. It's your belief and your conviction in Akhirah that drives the believer to invest. Otherwise, how can a person commit, anything else you do, you want it to reflect in your account, and you know this is going in your account of Akhirah, and that is faith and Iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this flock of sheep, and a disbeliever is looking at it. وَهُوَ يَرْمُقُهُ. رَمَقَ in Arabic means to like stay. This is like amazing. You know, sometimes you see a poor person, he's just looking, and he's just looking in envy, and he's looking in desire. He's looking at that aircraft take off the ground and it's airborne. And he's admiring and he's wishing. And that's how ironical the word is, you know. From the ground, the flight looks nice. From the flight, the ground looks nice. The flight is only exciting till you board it, and then it's boring. A flight is only exciting till you board it. That's why I say take a book with you to avoid boredom when you board it. If you know what I'm saying. The other one, brother, is like, Chef, you know, some have an attitude problem, you have an altitude problem the way you fly. So a munafiq cannot spend. The Prophet has this flock of sheep, and this believer is looking at it, يَرْمُقُهُ وَاللَّهِ. The Prophet sees this. يُعْجِبُكَ مَا تَرَى. Do you like what you see? I love it. I love it. And he said, have it. Have it. And what were his words? وَاللَّهِ مَا طَابَتْ نَفْسُ أَحَدٍ بِهَذَا إِلَّا نَفْسُ نَبِيِّهِ. You are a prophet. To spend so freely and profoundly without hesitation, reservation, or apprehension can only be the attribute of a prophet. Any other person, even if he speaks or he gives, it's like he's writing a big check, you know what, his hand is trembling. And then he's like, yeah, that's $1,000, that's not rupees, brother. Yeah, that's dollars, yeah. That's, yeah, exactly, yeah. Like, I just thought, you know what I mean? وَاللَّهِ مَا طَابَتْ نَفْسُ أَحَدٍ بِهَذَا إِلَّا نَفْسُ نَبِيِّهِ. This is a prophet. And then he goes to his people and he says, أَسْلِمُوا يَا قَوْمُ فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا لَيُعْطِي عَطَاعًا مَا يَخَافُ الْفَقْرَ. This man is a prophet of Allah. He gives and he doesn't fear poverty. He just doesn't fear. So a person came to ask, the Prophet gave him. And then another person came to ask, and the Prophet gave him. And the third person came to us, and the Messenger said, I don't have, go take from so and so and put it on my name, I will pay the debt. And Sayyidina Umar stood up and he said, أُمِرْتَ فَأَعْطَيْتَ سُئِلْتَ فَأَعْطَيْتَ سُئِلْتَ فَأَعْطَيْتَ. You were asked once, you gave. You were asked the second time, you gave. Now you've been asked and you don't have. I don't think you need to burden yourself when you don't have. And the Sahaba said, we see nothing, and he said nothing other than symptoms of disapproval manifesting on his blessed face. And another companion stood up and he said, O Prophet of Allah, just keep on giving, just keep on giving, and Allah will give you. فَعُلِفَ الْبِشْرُ فِي وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And suddenly we realize the glow and the joy on the face of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, بِهَذَا أُمِرْتُ. Your sentiments is a synopsis of the message with which I have been sent. Your sentiments summarizes. Barakallah. It's a summary of what I have been sent with. So Allah put a limitation on the munafiqeen. How? Allah said, if you want to visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give charity. Now I was like, okay, now. You know, there's a good friend of mine. He said, Shaykh, people are strange. I said, yeah, talk to me about it. Why? He says, I give like this chocolates and candy for free, you know? So I'm like, selling it and I give. So I tell the brother, I'm selling chocolates. Oh, brother, please forgive me, man. I would have supported you, but I'm diabetic. So I'm like, no, it's free. It's on the house. Okay, no problem. I'll have one. Oh. So is your pocket diabetic or your health? It's like I'm selling, I have my table there, brother, I'm selling to, oh, brother, I would have supported you, but I'm diabetic, man, really, I'm diabetic, yeah. No, brother, it's on the house. Okay, never mind, one, bismillah. Wow. He's like, really? Is his body diabetic or is his pocket diabetic? Umm Salma radiallahu anha's dad, what was her title? Zadur Raqib. Zadul Raqib means provisions for the traveler. Provisions for the traveler. If you travel, لِأَنَّ الرُّكْبَانَ لَا تَتَزَوَّدْ إِذَا كَانَتْ تَسِيرْ مَعَهُ. If you traveled with him, you could forget your wallet and your purse. That man would cover everyone. And some people are such, if they travel with you, you need two wallets. Because you know he's going to ride on your back. You just like know it. This guy's like, oh, brother, oh, man. But that's standard.
That's standard procedure. It's like he just forgets it. My brother, a generous man is a happy man, and a miser is a miserable man. A generous man brings joy to his home. He relaxes the environment, relaxes the atmosphere. Spend freely on others, limit the wealth on yourself. We've reversed the whole thing. We've spent lavishly on ourselves. I was in Sri Lanka for a program, so the brothers offered to take me for a massage, like a proper massage, a male massage, right? That's what I'm calling by myself, like a male massage, a male therapist, right? I hope you heard me properly, like a male therapist. So anyway, he takes me to a very exclusive parlor, male parlor, and it's quite an exorbitant amount. It's an arm and a leg, if not a few legs. So I'm like, brother Wade, why do you want to spend so much? He's like, chef, when I spend on the visitor of Allah, I don't have to give hisab. If I was spending on myself, I would have been concerned. But this is not the time for me to make hisab. This is the time for me to give for Allah. I'm not saying me per se, that was a context, but he taught me a great lesson. When you're spending on the friends of Allah, and may Allah make me his friend, I'm no friend, or when you're spending on those in the path of Allah, that's not the time to budget. That's not the time to see your limit. Go for an orphan and give the highest amount, because that orphan would be your rescue on the day of Qiyamah. That orphan would be your rescue on the day of Qiyamah. Don't budget to give an orphan, budget to give yourself. Limit it on yourself and not on that person. We've reversed the entire role and hence the crisis in the world. Wallahi thumma wallah. I'm saying this and I'll say it again. Our one day accommodations when we travel are more lavish than where refugees are spending the entire years. So when you and I stop in transit and we put up at a hotel, that 8 hours stay in the hotel is more lavish than where people are staying in tents for years. And there's no exaggeration, this is what my eye has seen. And it hurts me myself. So Allah said, if you want to meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, first give charity. So the Munafiq is like, no, it's fine, I don't think I really have a need now. Now I don't really think I have a need. When you have to pay for the chocolate, you were diabetic, right? And when it was free, you could come in the gathering and move others and make all the claims. I'm quoting from Quran. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمَ. When you tell me, brother, fear Allah, then his arrogance provokes him. Who you to tell me, back off? فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمَ. Hell is adequate to deal with his shenanigans. Hell is adequate. What does the Quran say? إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ جَزَاءُكُمْ جَزَاءً مَغْفُورًا أَيْ وَافِرًا مَغْفُورًا أَيْ وَافِرًا. That hell is adequate to take care of all his arrogance. Hell will take care of it. The world in its entirety doesn't have the capacity to compensate the noble for their virtuous actions or to retribute the evil for their sins. He's got a sentence of 9 lives, but he's only got 1 life. Right? Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, who was responsible for the murder of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, when he passed away, someone seen him in a dream and said, Hajjaj, how did you fare before Allah? And he's like, قَتَلَنِي بِكُلِّ قَتِيلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلًا وَقَتَلَنِي بِسَعِيدِ ابْنِ جُبَيْرٍ 70 قَتْلًا. قَتَلَنِي بِكُلِّ قَتِيلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلًا. For every unjust murder, Allah made me taste the agony of death once. But for Sa'id ibn Jubayr, I was subjected to the agony of death 70 times. Allah says that the occupant of hell will go through such difficulty in pain, like he's going to die, but he won't die. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ لَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ فَيَمُوتُ وَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي كُلَّ كَفُورٍ وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُورَ.
I haven't yet started my talk, but I better make progress because time is running out. So, barakallah. Allah said, whoever wants to attend the gathering of the Prophet must give charity. So now there's people out of joy.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة.
Oh, you who believe, when you want to confide with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you want to talk to him, right?
ناجى مناجي مناجاة مناجاة
لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. Allah says there is no good in all those private meetings. The majority of people who have private meetings, barely do they speak anything good.
وَهُوَ مَعْهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ.
And Allah is monitoring when they spend their night talking things that are not good and unsavory.
وَهُوَ مَعْهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ.
إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So, إِذَا نَاجَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولِ if you want to meet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْنَ جُوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Give some charity. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That's better for you, وَأَطْهَرُ, and it's more pure for you. So Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه said this injunction was revealed. And I had a dinar in my hand, I made change, I gave it in charity, and I came and I practiced on this verse immediately. I gave the charity because now to come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you have to give charity to come. And the wisdom of this injunction was to limit the munafiq. Because he was very good to come right in front and make all these claims, and then he wasn't genuine, he wasn't sincere, he wasn't honest. So as soon as Allah put this injunction, it separated the munafiq from the believer. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّرِ. Right? Allah speaks about one campaign and it's a different verse in the Quran, in a different context. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّرِ. Well, Allah separates and segregates the evil from the noble. So I had the opportunity, I gave the charity, and then I came and sat down, and the entire dialogue is in Madarik al-Tanzeel. I asked the Prophet some 10 questions, and among the 10 questions, one question I want to share. And subsequent to my engagement, the injunction of giving charity prior to meeting the Prophet was abrogated. The verse wasn't abrogated, but the injunction was abrogated. So, هذه آية
في كتاب الله ما عمل بها أحد قبلي ولا يعمل بها أحد بعدي.
Sayyidina Ali said, I'm holding the record. Because it was revealed, I just saw, I came and I asked. And when I said, I mean, what a golden opportunity, the verse is revealed, you went and you gave it. I said, we occupy ourselves with everything but the salvation of our soul. And he came and he sat down. And what did he ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
ماذا أصنع لنجاة نفسي؟ ماذا أصنع لنجاة نفسي؟
The Prophet asked me a quick question. What can I do to rescue my soul? What can I do to rescue my soul? Wow. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Jawamihul Kalim. Allah had blessed him with comprehensive speech. Among the many salient qualities and attributes of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was comprehensive speech. And what did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? It could only be him. He said,
كُلْ حَلَالًا وَقُلْ صِدْقًا كُلْ حَلَالًا وَقُلْ صِدْقًا. Eat that which is halal and utter that which is true, and that will save your soul.
Wow. Two words. But it takes a life to achieve that. It takes a life. See, a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, oh, Sini, advise me. He said, قُلْ أَمِنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. قُلْ أَمِنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I brought iman on Allah. He said, I brought iman on Allah. And then diligently oblige and comply to the dictates of that proclamation. So you made a statement. Now live by that. Amintu billah, easy to say it. Thumma istaqim. Tazawwajtu, easy. Live by the demands of tazawwajtu. You'll hear what they're right. It's easy to get married. It's difficult to remain married. Nobody agrees with me? I'm like, I don't have problems in a marriage, but I'm sure you agree with me. It's easy to become a hafiz, difficult to remain a hafiz. Easy to get married, difficult to remain married. Getting married is simple, perform a nikah, solemnize it. And wallahi, as long as marriage will remain simple, zina will be difficult. The day we make nikah difficult, zina will become simple. And today we have brought about our customs to make nikah difficult. So unfortunately people are resorting to zina. They will protect us. There was a brother who called me, like this week, and he's like, I have a problem, he sent me an email, I'm having difficulties, unfortunately Allah protect me, I have succumbed to some evil habits, and you know, I'm trying to change my life, but he said, SubhanAllah, Sheikh, I don't know how to tell you, I thought I'll keep it, you know, secret and repent, but I'm sleeping, and while I'm sleeping in my dua, I'm saying, Allah forgive me for zina, and my wife is like, what are you up to? So, I got up, and he says, you're asking Allah protection for zina, that means you're up to something. And I'm like, yeah, no, maybe, who knows? You know, the guy sent his phone to repair, and when he opened the cover, inside there was a note that please tell my wife that this phone is irreparable and here's $100 bill for you, because she wanted to go into my call history, right? And anyway, I advised the brother and I said to him, and he says, no, I really want to come out of it. I really want to come out of it, and I'm not happy to live with that. May Allah protect us all. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an azni wa asrik. Allah protect me from zina and theft. And someone said, but you are like 80 years old and you've narrated 5,374 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are asking protection from zina. He said, kayfa amanu ala nafsi wa iblisu hayyun. How can I say with release when the devil is alive and kicking? When the devil is alive and operating, how can I feel I'm done and over? If that was Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in an era of modesty and morality, and today in an era of promiscuity and infidelity and disloyalty, how can any one of us be safe? Anyway, coming back to my point, I said, today we're doing anything and everything but working towards the salvation of our soul. Hasan Basri rahimahullah used to refer to Muhammad ibn Wasi' as Zayn al-Qur'an. Muhammad ibn Wasi' was a great giant and legend in the field of qira'at. We used to read many beautiful Qur'an. Someone said, لِلْأُمَرَاءِ قُرَّاءِ وَلِلْأَغْنِيَاءِ قُرَّاءِ وَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدْ لَمِنْ قُرَّاءِ الرَّحْمَنِ لِلْأُمَرَاءِ قُرَّاءِ وَلِلْأَغْنِيَاءِ قُرَّاءِ. You have local societies, national record, you must listen to the recitation on YouTube. Oh, you must read this, you must see this. And then you have the likes of Muhammad ibn Wasi', who are the reciters of Rahman, who are the reciters of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nimtu, I went to sleep, for ra'aytuni fil jannah, I see myself in Jannah, fasami'tu sawta qari'in yaqra', and then I heard someone reciting Quran. So I asked the malaika, who is this? They said, this is Haritha bin Nu'man, he reads in Medina, and Allah amplifies his recitation in Jannah. The authentic narration. And the Prophet said, كَذَلِكَ الْبِرْ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. This is because of how dutiful he was to his mom, that Allah honored him and Allah blessed him, that he read Quran on the earth and it was amplified in Jannah. Can you imagine that honor? Can you imagine that honor? وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. A person came to the door of Umar, used to visit Umar Allah. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, idhaf fata'allam kitab Allah. Go brother, go learn Quran. So he went and he never came back. So Umar radiallahu anhu met him one day, he said, you don't come visit me anything anymore? He said, wajadtu fi kitab Allahi ma aghnani an babi. You told me to learn Quran and I found so much in Quran, it's made me independent to come visit you. Wow. وَجَدْتُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Unfortunately, today we've just lost touch of the Qur'an. So anyway, I was saying, Muhammad ibn Wasi', my focus as we move on to request for the orphans to donate, I said, we're doing everything and anything, investing, building, but we're doing nothing for the self. A man has taken out an insurance policy for an unborn grandchild, but he hasn't done adequate to rescue his own soul in the qabr.
Like, where's the logic?
He's really debating an insurance policy for an unborn child. What's my legal rights? What's the implications? I need to take up the coverage. My daughter is getting married. Who knows, 2 years from now, I could be a grandfather. Could not me, not my daughter, or just carefully. Right? And then I will take up this and cover this, and I need to, you know what, distribute my assets. Like, going so far, and he doesn't have any place for his own grave, for his own soul. And hence, this is the opportunity. So, Muhammad ibn Wasi' goes to visit Bilal ibn Abi Buraydah. Wa Bilalun fi hashamihi. And Bilal is with his entourage. So he is like inflated. He's inflated, he has all his people around him. And he's got a beautiful house. So he says to Muhammad ibn Wasi', Kayfa tara baytana? So what's your take on my house? What do you feel about my house? So these were the pious, they had the foresight and inner sight and vision. Is that in the baytaka latayyib wal jannatu atyab minhu. In the baytaka latayyib wal jannatu atyab minhu. If I have to paraphrase, you have a lovely home, but nothing to write home about. Nothing to scream about. Nothing to rave about. Your house is beautiful, but Jannah is way more awesome. Jannah is way more awesome. وَذِكْرُ النَّارِ يُلْهِ عَنْهُ. And if you think of death and the punishment in the grave, you stop making these careless and careless statements. You see, Allah makes mention in the Quran, I just have a flash of one verse. Allah gives the example of akhirah, like a garden and an orchard and how it grows, etc. And then Allah says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. So when the tillage and the plantation and the growth happens, now look at the scholars of Tafsir, and that's the beauty of the Quran. أعجب الكفار نباته. The plantation and the tillage appeals to the eye of the disbeliever. The scholars of Tafsir engage and explore and dissect and analyze this capture of the ayah, that if it's a beautiful farm and a beautiful tillage and a beautiful orchard, why does Allah say it impresses the eye of a disbeliever? Because a beautiful garden and orchard looks attractive to a believer and disbeliever. Something that's beautiful, the beautiful garden is like, wow, it's breathtaking, botanical, soothing, you know what, relaxing. Why did Allah say? Allah didn't say, a'jab al-bashar. Allah didn't say, a'jab al-kuffar on a bashar. Some go into the lugawi meaning, they go into the linguistic. But I don't want to go into an academic lesson here. I'll give you the other tafsir that is mentioned. The scholars say the reason why Allah said it appeals to the eye of a disbeliever, because any beauty or splendor of this world, it impresses a believer but never obsesses a believer. A believer will say it's nice, but the real place is Jannah. A believer will say it's lovely, but original is Jannah. Everything else is superficial. Whereas a person who doesn't believe in life after death, this is the ultimate. ذَلِكَ مَبَلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. ذَلِكَ مَبَلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. This is their pinnacle of knowledge. This is where it ends for them. This is the ultimate. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ بَلِ ادَّارَكَ عِلْمُهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بَلْ هُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِنْهَا بَلْ هُمْ مِنْهَا عَمُونَ. So it's the ultimate for them. But the believer, like even when he buys a new house, a believer sells to a believer. There was a brother in California, may Allah bless him. I had spent 3 Ramadans in his house. Back in the years, late 90s, early 2000. So I had spent 3 Ramadans and I was leading the Taraweeh prayer. And then he had put his house on the market to sell.
And it's like, my dream is to sell this house to a Muslim brother, and in the end, even if I have to settle on a smaller figure, I will do so, but I want this house to continue. My two sons have memorized the Quran here. You have stayed yourself and recited the Quran. I cannot imagine this house going to someone else where the Quran will not be continuously recited. And I said, wow, wow. And in the end, he took less value, because unfortunately our people don't pay the best. He took less value in monetary with the hope that that will continue the legacy of Quran. I said, that could only be a believer. That could only be a believer who would think with that eye. Who would think with that eye. You know? On a lighter note, they say thinking out of the box. You heard of thinking out of the box, right? So they advertise a post that we want to see if you can think out of the box. So what's thinking out of the box? You drive in, and there are three people standing at the bus stand. Right? And you are only allowed to give a ride to one. One is a person who you owe a lifelong favor to. The other one is a young school friend over whom you had a crush and an infatuation. And it never materialized, and she went her way, you went your way. And the third person is someone who's sick and ill and needs to be rushed to clinic. Hello? You know what I'm talking, right? You guys know what I'm talking? So you drive in your car, there are three people standing, taken out of the box, there are three people at the bus stand, you're only allowed to give a ride to one person. So one is a person who has done you a favor, and you need to reciprocate that favor. And this is an ideal opportunity because of that person's desperation. The second is a person that needs to go to the clinic urgently for medical intervention. And the third is this young girl over whom you have this fantasy and this crush and this infatuation. And now she's desperate, but you can only give a ride to one thing out of the box. So the guy is like, simple. I hop off the car. I give the car to the brother to whom I owe a favor to. And I say, please take this brother to the clinic, and myself and her will go for a walk. Thinking out of the box. Anyway, a believer never gets obsessed. And that's the beauty. Listen to me what I'm saying. A believer never gets obsessed. Let me share with you another ayah. Time is running out. Allah says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبَنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله. Say, إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم, if your parents and your children and your siblings and your wealth and your business. Now listen to this. I'll first give the academic explanation and then I will try and simplify it. أحب إليكم is more beloved to you. What do the scholars of Tafsir write? أحبيت مذموم هي محبوبيت مذموم نيها أحبيت. Allah says if your wife, your children, your wealth is more beloved to you than Allah, then there's a problem. Allah didn't say if you love. Loving is perfect, it's necessary, it's integral, it's intrinsic, it's part of our nature. If we don't love, how will we do this? I mean, look at the system of Allah. He's put in our hearts love for our children. Now we contend with their shenanigans, we contend with their erratic nature, we contend with their tantrums. But the love in us as parents is so profound that we continue. That when Allah told this child to pray for his parent, Allah used the word Rabb. Rabb irhamhuma kama rabbaya. Kama rabbaya. What a great word Allah has used for parents. And what a daunting responsibility that word carries for parents. And what a great obligation from children. Oh Allah, have mercy on my parents. Kama rabbaya. Rabbaya. So the love Allah has put in us, and that love just drives us and keeps us going. What they say, children are a big help in old age, which you wouldn't have reached so quickly if you didn't have that. Children are a big help in old age. You wouldn't have aged so quickly if you didn't have them. So it's a big help that you get there very quick also because of... when my kids were small, right? Another guy, my children, and another guy, your children. So I'm like holding my three sons, Hoseita, Hamza, and Talha. 1 year, and one on my back. And like, I'm in my early 20s. I don't want to do it long old, but I'm going to give you my age. Anyway, so I'm holding the three of them and I'm walking along. And the scholar sees me and he's like, Chef, oh, your hands are paining. I'm like, yeah, brother. He says, rather let your hands pain than the age and your heart pains. Wow, that pierced my heart. That pierced my heart. Today your hands are paining. And then comes the day, it's Saturday night and it's 12 o'clock. Like, where are you? Dad, relax. We good. Somewhere, I'm going to take a on. Relax. We know where you're staying. And now your heart is tossing and your heart is beating and pulsating. And like, where is he? Is he in the right company? Well, who is he? Hamad ibn Salma, somebody was sitting by him and then the dog came around and sniffing. So he tried to rebuke the dog and he said, move from here. So he said, Dabu, hala khayru min jalisi su, hala la yudhini. Leave the dog. The dog is way better than evil company. The dog is not harming me. The dog is doing what it wants to do. It's sniffing. It's perfect. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. An evil company will give up negative energy. The animal is not giving me any negative energy. No negative energy. Hala khayru min jalisi su, hala la yudhini. So rather your hands pain than your heart pain. May Allah guide over you. May Allah guide over you. May Allah protect over you. We're living in vulnerable times and we need to stand and shoulder each other. We need to hold and hug each other. The world out there is turbulent. Hazayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ لَا يَنْجُو أَحَدْ إِلَّا مَنْ يَدْعُكَ دُعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ. Time will come, nobody will be rescued. But the one who begs Allah like how a drowning person begs. When a person is drowning and is trying to call the lifesaver, it's not like, listen, okay, maybe you're burning, all right, come on, I'm going. He's yelling, he's screaming frantically, he's waving his hands, he's gasping breath. None will be rescued from the trials of that time but the one who calls Allah like how a drowning person calls. Wallahi, the world is rocked with turbulence. The Prophet said, Man ashrafa laha istashrafatu. The fitnah will be such that if you peep into it, it will swallow you. So I'm just on the net and I'm just cursory glance and I'm just like curiosity. And I went onto a website and they pulled me and there I'm taken and I'm drawn and I'm gone. And I'm now perusing unsavory material. And I've signed up in the next fasting. I'm a victim of this and what has happened. I had a sister who had once called me, and the phone rings at an odd hour, and I take the call. And she's like, my son loves your lectures, may Allah bless you. And I'm, go ahead, sister, what can I do? And she's like, you know, he had a problem, and he had substance abuse, and he was taking drugs, and then he went to rehabilitation, and he stabilized. And one day my husband was in his closet, and she opened the closet. He opened the closet, and he sees this powder-like substance. And he's like, out of curiosity, what are these youngsters up to? He takes a pinch of it. And next thing, like the call cuts. And I'm, sister, are you there? Are you there? And then there's a stammer, sister. And then there's tearing and sobbing. And I'm like, sister, forgive me if I've said anything. No. And she says, now my son is clean and my husband is an addict. And this hadith came to mind. The Prophet said, if you will just like, peep into it. Just curiosity. I just want to see. I just want to go with my friends one night. Let's just see what it's all about. Listen, I'm not going to do it. I'll just stand and watch. I just want to see. Curiosity. Let's see what's it all about. It will just draw you in. So it's volatile situations. The one Hakim said, الدنيا بحر عميق غرق فيه الأولون والآخرون فإن استطعت فافعل سفينتك تقوى الله لعلك أن تنجو ولا أراك ناجيا. Wow. A father telling his son, the tides are high,
The waters are rough. The oceans are deep. I've seen vessels sink. I've seen sailors drown. Listen, my boy, make a vessel. The obedience of Allah. Hop onto it. Hopefully you get to shore. But being your father, let me be honest and be say the truth to you. I doubt you'll make it across. لَعَلَّكَ أَن تَنْجُوا وَلَا أَرَاكَ نَاجِيًا. So anyway, I was saying to you, my brother, that a believer never gets obsessed with the things of this world. So Allah said, أَحَبَّ. To like the things of this world is fine. It's necessary. There's nothing wrong with it. And that's the balance of our faith. That's how pragmatic Islam is. That is how user-friendly Islam is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't like using the word romantic. I don't like using the word romantic because of its many connotations. But if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his spouse radiyallahu anhunna, he was the most affectionate, most loving, most warm husband. Our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha says, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yuqabbilu ihda nisa'ihi wa huwa sa'imun thumma tar'a." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be fasting, and he would kiss one of his spouses while fasting, and then she used to blush. And blushing was the modesty towards himself. And I say this without fear of contradiction. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed mouth was more fragrant when he got up in the morning than your teeth and my teeth after brushing it. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teeth was more fragrant. His blessed mouth had more aroma and fragrance. Right? Utbah ibn Farqat al-Sulami. Utbah ibn Farqat al-Sulami. Umm Asim. Qibrani's narration. Umm Asim says, Kunna arba. I'm going to say this first and then I'm over. Then, of course, inshallah, we'll make an appeal. And remember my message, do something for the salvation of your soul. And Allah has given you an opportunity. The Prophet said, you look after an orphan, we walk like this. You look after an orphan, and we will be like this. وَقَرَّنَ بَيْنَ إِصْبَحَيْهِ. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated proximity with his index finger and middle finger. So, what was the narration I was saying? SubhanAllah. Tibrani. Asim radiallahu anha says, I said the fragrance of the Prophet Asim, we were four women married to Utbah ibn Farqat al-Sulami. Kunna arba nisma inda Utbah ibn Farqat al-Sulami. Wama minna ibra illa wa hiya tajtahidu fi al-tib li takuna atyab min sahibatiha. And each one of us would decorate and adorn and beautify and apply fragrance so we could attract our spouse and be more beautiful and more attractive than our co-wife. وَمَا يَمُسُّ عُقْبَةُ طِيبًا وَهُوَ أَطْيَبُ مِنَّا. And our hubby would never apply fragrance, but he would be the most fragrant. So one day I sat him down and I'm like, explain this. How does this work? And it's so important that one person came to one of my teachers to ask for advice when he was getting married. And my teachers just told me to be very particular of oral hygiene. Because there's nothing that could create resentment in your spouse other than insensitivity to oral hygiene. If we're not particular of oral hygiene, you meet it with your partner and you have bad habits, bad odor, and imagine your closeness and proximity and you're distancing your partner because of the odor. Like, where is that? Where can we find that? The Messenger of Allah was so sensitive about oral hygiene. Every type of hygiene, and oral hygiene, that when he came to the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari, when he came to Medina, Khalid bin Zayd, that's the name of Abu Ayyub Ansari. His kunia was Abu Ayyub, his name is Khalid bin Zayd. We visited his grave in Istanbul. Khalid bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And he said, leave the camera, it's under inspiration. And he halts at the house of Abu Ayyub. And every day his wife would prepare and give the food. And whatever would come from the remains, him and his wife would eat. And one day the Prophet returned the platter without anything remaining, or without touching the food. So he got very disturbed and perturbed. رَدَتَّ عَشَاءَكُ وَلَمْ أَعْفِيهِ مَوْجِعَ يَدِهِ. Prophet, you've returned the food and I didn't see your hands. Is the food fine?
He said, yeah, I got the smell of like raw garlic and onions. I don't eat this because it's offensive to the malaika. Or Prophet of Allah, haramun huwa, is it unlawful? He said, no, walakinni akra, but me in my individual capacity, I just like it. فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ مَا تَكْرَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ مَا تَكْرَهُ. Then if you don't like it, I don't like it, Prophet Allah. I said, wow. Can you imagine that? So we're going to be very, very particular about oral hygiene, our faith, we stand next to people in salah. You know, if we have bad habits, may Allah guide one and all, try and eliminate it, try and be particular about it, try and rid yourself of it. He said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَرٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ فَصَدِّقُوا. Some tell you a mountain, you believe him. But if he tells you a man gave up his bad habit, don't believe him. Oh, habits die hard. I'm doing zina now because I'm not married. The day I get married, I won't do zina. That's a fallacy. That's a fallacy. I'm stealing now because I'm hungry. The day I got money, I won't steal. That's a fallacy. You continue to steal it. Zina will continue. Allah protect us. There's no logic to sin. There's no justification to sin. Some might be more vulnerable and susceptible, but there's no justification. There's no justification because of this, I can't do it. So anyway, we asked him, he said, why is it that you don't apply anything but you're so fragrant? He said, أَخَذَنِي أَشْشِرَافِ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ. In the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one day on my back, I had like an itching syndrome. So it was itching. So I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُجَرِّ. He told me, remove your clothing. So I removed it with the exception of my private area. And then he put his blessed hand over my back. From that day to this day, the fragrance hasn't left me. Tabani. The narration is there. Or Ma'asi. So coming back to that incident, I said that Muhammad ibn Wasir went to visit Bilal ibn Abi Buraydah. And he said to him, Baitana, what do you feel about our house? He said, your house is great, but Jannah is way more beautiful. So what did I say? A believer is fine to be attached to the things, but you mustn't love it more than Allah. Now, the scholars tell us, you can only determine what is more beloved to you at a point of conflict of interest. When there's harmony between both, you cannot claim allegiance to both equally. So if there's two friends, you say, no, I love this one more. When you love both and they have an understanding, you cannot do it. The time the two friends have an altercation and they have a quarrel and they have a feud among themselves, the one to whom you show your allegiance will dictate to whom you're closer. You can only say you love Allah and His Nabi more at the time when the demand of your own wealth is something and the demand of Allah is something else. Like there is a crisis in the world with orphans and others, and people are going without food and drink, and we continue to live a lavish lifestyle, and Allah forgive me, I don't want pointing fingers to you, I'm talking about myself first. How do we reconcile this dichotomy, this contradiction, this extreme, this disparity? Then one side, this is the situation and this is my life. How do we reconcile? So what did Bilal ibn Abi Buraydah say? إِنَّ بَيْتَكَ لَطَيِّبْ وَجَنَّةُ أَطْيَبْ مِنْهُ. Then he said to him, مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقَدْرِ. مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقَدْرِ. What's your opinion on qadr, of destiny? Now, destiny and qadr is a very intricate article of faith. It's part of our iman. Well, qadr is very, very delicate. Allah speaks about it. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. We created everything with proportion and measure. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. فَقَدَرْنَا, we calculated, we estimated, we proportioned. فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. We are the best of those who can calculate. فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. We are the best who can spread the earth. نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Everything of Allah is ni'mah. So, مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقَدْرِ. What's your opinion on qadr? Somebody asked Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه, what's your opinion on qadr? Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه said, هُوَ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ لَا تَمِيدُ. It's a deep ocean, don't die, you'll drown. He's like, no, tell me about qadr. Sayyidina Ali said, هُوَ طَرِيقٌ مُؤْمِنٌ لَا تَسْلُكُ. It's a dark road, don't walk. He's like, no, tell me about qadr. Sayyidina Ali said, "Huwa sirrullah qad khafi alayh." It's a secret of Allah, only known to you. Don't ask it. Why does he have wealth? Why doesn't he have wealth? Why is he wealthy and why is he poor? Why is his daughter married and why is his daughter not married? Why is that? That's not for me and you to decide. That's the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا شِئْتَ كَانَ وَإِنْ لَمْ نَشَأْ وَمَا شِئْتُ إِنْ لَمْ تَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ خَلَقْتَ الْعِبَادَ لِمَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ فَفِي الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِي الْفَتَى وَالْمُسِنِ فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَمِنْهُمْ سَعِيدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ حَسَنٌ وَمِنْهُمْ طَبِيعٌ ذَا مَنَنْتَ وَهَذَا قَتَلْتَ وَذَا أَنْعَمْتَ وَهَذَا لَمْ تُنْعِمْ. If I translate, it's another hour and I don't think you have the strength, so let me start wrapping up. So then he said, okay, udhuli. You know, typical, oh, make dua for me, make dua for me. When like, ah, you're the friend of Allah, make dua for me. One of my scholars used to say, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي. Allah said, when my servants ask you. Let me say, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عَبْدِي. So all of you can ask Allah. It's open to everyone. It's open to everyone to ask Allah. That's the beauty. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When my servants ask. So, when like, now you don't know what to ask. Oh, okay, make a dua for me. Make a dua for me. You know? That's the way we take it. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik asked Salman ibn Dinar, make a dua for me. First he told him, tell me of any need you have, I'll settle it. So he said, Hajjati an tuqqidani min al-nar wa tuqqidani al-jannah. My need is save me from hell and get me into paradise. What did I say? They occupied themselves with the salvation of their soul. This is the king of the time giving you an offer, make a request. You say, I didn't know what to ask. So how can I tell you to money get there? So how can I carry it? What an opportunity a man is giving you an option like this. I would have asked him this. Hajjati an tuqqidani min al-nar. Save me from hell and put me in Jannah. ذَلِكَ لَيْسَ مِنْ شَأْنِي. That's outside my jurisdiction. مَا لِي مِنْ حَجَّةٍ سِوَى اللَّهِ. Okay, then sorry, we don't have much to discuss because I don't have another desire. Wow. Make your request. My request is save me from that. Oh no, sorry, I can't do that. Or when I don't have any other request. Okay, make dua for me. اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ سُلَيْمَانَ مِنْ أَوْلِيَائِهِ فَيَسِّرْهُ إِلَى خَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخَرَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِهِ فَأَصْلِحْهُ. Oh Allah, if this Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik is from your friend, then grant him the goodness of both the worlds. And oh Allah, if he's your enemy, then give him hidayah and let him change. So somebody that was close, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتَ فَقَدْ جَعَلْتَ الْخَلِيفَ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ وَعَذَيْتَ. He said, how could you say a thing like this? You make the leader of the Muslims the enemy and you said it is the enemy of Allah. He said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتَ أَنْتَ. What you said is evil. Because Allah took a pledge from the ulama, لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ. Then you will declare the truth and you will say it. And then he said, إِنَّ الَّذِي مَضَوْ قَبْلَنَا دَامُوا فِي خَيْرٍ وَصِحَّةٍ مَدَامَ عُلَمَاؤُهُمْ مَدَامَ أُمَرَاؤُهُمْ يَأْتُونَ عُلَمَاؤُهُمْ رَغْبَةً فِي مَا عِنْدَهُمْ. That our pious predecessors lived in an era of good because the kings used to come to the learned. The things have turned around. Now the scholars have lost their knowledge and they run with their begging bowls to those in power. In the write-up of one of the pious predecessors, he was a great scholar. So the king said to him, لِمَ لَا تَزُورُنَا. Why don't you visit me? He said, I don't visit you so that you can be حتى تكون من خير الملوك حيث تزورني ولا أكون من شر العلماء حيث أزورك. So that you can visit me by being the best of rulers and I don't be visit you by you being the most evil of scholars. Anyway, I'm digressing and going into many things here. So we round it up. He said, make dua for me. He made dua for me. So what did he say? He said, وَمَا يَنْفَعُ دُعَائِي وَعَلَى ذَلِكَ كَذَا وَكَذَا كُلٌّ يَقُولُ إِنَّكَ ظَلَمْتَهُمْ يَرْتَفِعُ دُعَاؤُهُمْ قَبْلَ دُعَائِي. You want me to pray for you? I'll pray for you now. But there are thousands outside who are cursing you because they're victims of your oppression. So before my prayer in your favor can rescue you, their curse for your destruction will destroy you. Undo the curses of people and give people back their due, and you won't need the prayer of anyone. Just remove the curses of people. So I leave you on that note, and I say to you, my brother, this is an opportunity. Allah gives us different opportunities. Understand this here. The beauty of Islam is every person who gets into Jannah will enter Jannah with a different action. You know, you're sitting in a common cabin, business class, first class, or economy, right? By the way, I keep this analogy often in my talks. People say, you travel so much summarizing. So I say to them, life is short, but an economy flight is long. You heard me, my brother? Life is short, but an economy flight is long. And travel is an affliction, but first class is the minus form. Anyway, that's besides it. You're sitting in a common cabin, but people pay different prices. You're sitting together. He booked early, he paid less, you booked late. You've got the same seat. You've got the same seat, same class, same perk, same whatever it is. Luggage allowance, priority queue, lounge, whatever. But you pay different prices. You booked a flex, and refundable ticket, saver, plus, whatever it is. Every man who will enter into Jannah will enter through the mercy of Allah. May Allah make us amongst them. But every occupant of Jannah will have a different action which attracted Allah's mercy. Somebody's punctuality of salah will get in it. Somebody's dutiful nature to his parents will get in it. And somebody was taking kind, was kind to orphans, and that will get him in. So that's the beauty of Islam. Allah hasn't limited the entry into Jannah with one action. And we need to fill our reserves with more action. What they say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify. Because you don't know which investment will mature. You don't know which one will give you more returns. So every opportunity that knocks your door, invest in it, my brother. Invest in it. When the market booms, the one who bought regrets, and the one who didn't buy also regrets. The one who bought, I wish I bought too. And the one who didn't buy is like, you still got one, I didn't buy anything. So in after, when we see our investment has matured, we will wish we had taken care of more orphans. So they're starting with a minimum of $50 to take care for 1 month. I just mentioned now my time is up of so many orphans, I just returned from Lombok. And tomorrow, inshallah, in my Jummah talk, I'm going to give a report back. We know the crisis that's happening at the moment. There's a volcanic eruption, there's a tsunami, and the tremors and quake. 2 weeks ago, I was in the island of Lombok, and inshallah, tomorrow in my Jummah talk, I'm going to give a report on that. There are hundreds and thousands of orphans languishing around the world. Here's your opportunity knocking your door. Who can make a commitment, inshallah? Our good colleague here, Mala Asif, will take over. May Allah bless you all for sitting patiently. Jazakallah khair.
www.attableague.com, the reviver of the